In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverant Family Conversation as we enter into the Easter Triduum. And today, of course, is Holy Thursday. So as always, we'd like to invite Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church, and Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, we pray the Hail Holy Queen. We invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So on this solemn day, which we enter into the Easter Triduum with the celebration of Holy Thursday, let's humbly invite Mary to be with us to pray for us and to pray with us so that we can strive to plumb the depths of Christ's great love for all of humanity, but for each and every one of us. As we pray the prayer that Mary loves most. That prayer is the Hail Mary, together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known, taken from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He is the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our soul. Holy Spirit is also our consoler. Our consoler as well as our counselor. Holy Spirit is also our interior master. The Holy Spirit is our interior master because, as St. Paul says, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's pray the Holy Spirit that He gives us a lot of light. And then fire of love to burn within our hearts as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your... Apologize, there was some technical problem there. So let's, once again, let's turn to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light and the interior fire of love to burn within our hearts as we say, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, that did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my friends, on this Holy Thursday, in which we commemorate the Last Supper, in the special Mass this evening, I'll place you on the altar that God would bless you most abundantly today in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to pray that all of us today, and as we enter into this Easter Triduum, that all of us would try to be open to the Holy Spirit. We try to be open to the Holy Spirit. And this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Then I'd like to pray for our family members, especially our family members who have walked away from God, that they will return. These days of great holiness, of great blessings, that the prodigal sons and daughters, that we all know them, would return to the loving embrace of the Father. Then my intention will be to pray for those who will be dying today. They'll be passing from this life to the next. I'd like to pray especially for those who are not really prepared to die. And of course, the most important moment in our lives is the moment we die. That will determine for all eternity, our destiny. So I'd like to pray for those who will die today, that they will die in God's grace so that they will be saved. Those are my intentions I'll offer as or celebrate the Holy Thursday Mass this evening, placing you on the altar. So, my friends, for us to understand the liturgical celebration today and tomorrow, we have to go back 2,000 years ago, and let's try to set the stage. I'd like to give you a Eucharistic Ignatian contemplation. So understand the celebration we do tonight and tomorrow. We have to really transport ourselves back 2,000 years ago. So, Christianity and Catholicism has roots in Judaism. So every year, the Jewish people would celebrate what is called the Paschal Meal. This was their principal feast day every year. This was their principal feast day, in which the Jewish people would recall when they were slaves in Egypt. They were bitter slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. And God called Moses to liberate the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt. What I'm going to tell you now is what the father of the household would do every year with his family surrounding him. So Moses told the Israelites to take the blood of a lamb and to paint the doorpost with that. If done, the angel of death would preserve their family, their children, their firstborn from being slaughtered. It happened. But the Egyptians, their firstborn, they were slain, and there was weeping and wailing. Pharaoh told Moses and the Israelites to leave Egypt quickly. So as they're traveling, the Egyptians changed their minds and headed toward Moses and the Israelites with soldiers, chariots, and charioteers. God told Moses to lift up his staff. By doing so, the Red Sea was parted in two, which the immense waters were like two walls on the right and the left. Then the Israelites marched right through those waters. The Egyptians' charioteers rushed headlong, and then God allowed the waters to subside, and all of the charioteers were drowned. That is called the Passover. So given that had to take place quickly, their meal was done, was carried out quickly. So we'll move from there to the apostles preparing the Last Supper. So Jesus desired long to share this meal with the apostles, the gospel writer tells us. So Jesus sent two of his apostles, his two favorites, to prepare the meal. And this would be Peter and John. So there was an upper room that was lent to Jesus and the apostles, which is called the cenacle. And Peter and John did the preparation. They got the Paschal lamb. They slaughtered it. Then they brought it to be roasted. Then, in the upper room, there was a lot of water for the ablutions. There would be wine. There would be the bitter herbs. There would be the vegetables. There would be the unleavened bread. All was prepared with great detail. They're very meticulous. That would be the preparation for the Paschal meal. Then, this was to be celebrated as the sun was going down. Jesus enters the cenacle with his 12 apostles. He wanted to celebrate this last meal with his apostles. This would be the last Paschal meal. This would be the last Paschal meal. The new Paschal meal would be Christ himself that was sacrificed on the wood of the cross the following day. So, let's now enter into the upper room. And let's go through the different gestures that were present there. Now, the apostles still were not perfect, and they were vying to see who was most important among them. And Jesus points out to them who is the greatest. And what does he do? Let's go through the various actions there at the Holy Thursday and glean a lot of fruit. As you know, my style is to give you a summary of the passage, an interpretation, and then the application. So Jesus gets a basin of water. He girds himself with a towel. Then he does a gesture that we're going to be doing tonight as priests. He gets down on his knees, and Jesus goes from one apostle to the next, and he's washing their feet. That's right, he's washing their feet. He arrives at Peter, and Peter contradicts him. He says, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus says, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. Peter says, then, well, if that's the case, wash my hands and my head as well. Our Lord says, you all are clean, but not all of you, because he's already pointing to what Judas would be doing. So this gesture of the washing of feet, there's a lot of symbolic value in this. The first is we see the great humility of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, the most extended social class in society would be the slaves. Washing the feet of a guest was a role that a slave would carry out. Therefore, we contemplate the remarkable humility of Christ. It's a gesture of humility. Also, washing the dirty feet would be that of purification. It would also be, as Jesus said, that of service. That Jesus would say that the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. To serve is to reign. Jesus said, you have called me master, and I am your master. What I have done, you also should do. Then, we move to other gestures. Jesus then is going to institute two of the seven sacraments will be instituted in the context of the Last Supper. Two of the seven sacraments in the Catholic Church will be instituted at the Last Supper. And one is connected with the other. Actually, if you have to have both for the two sacraments to exist. Now there, as the Paschal meal is coming to an end, the apostles are eating, they're enjoying the presence of Christ, and the words from Christ are flowing. Actually, you can hear the Last Supper discourse of Christ, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. You've got five long chapters. This is called the Last Supper Discourse. And then we have the moment, the sublime moment in which Jesus will institute the greatest of all sacraments, in a certain sense, the greatest gift that he left to the church and left to us, which would be the Eucharist. Jesus takes bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and gives the bread. Those are the same words that we say every time we celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He takes the bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and then he gives the bread. Those four different verbs in the present tense. And Jesus says, take and eat. This is my body. Then he takes a cup filled with wine. And he says, take and drink. This is my blood. The blood of the new and everlasting covenant, which will be shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. So there, my friends, There, my friends, we have the solemn and sublime institution of the Most Holy Eucharist. Then, when Jesus says, "Do this in memory of me," Jesus then is instituting another sacrament, and that would be the sacrament of holy orders, or the priesthood. And one depends upon the other. If we don't have the priesthood, then we will not have the Eucharist. So let's stop and reflect upon these two great sacraments. Let's reflect upon these two great sacraments. The two sacraments Jesus instituted at the Last Supper, which was the first Mass. I repeat, the Last Supper, which was the first Mass. The words of institution of the two sacraments would be, he took bread, broke the bread, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, and take and drink, this is my blood." There you have the institution of the Eucharist. Then, when he said, "Do this in memory of me," he was ordaining the apostles as the first priests, as well as he's going to ordain them as the first bishops. So what should be our attitude related to this? In prayer, when we're making our holy hour, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the first thing I think we should do is to thank God for the great gift of the Most Holy Eucharist. We should be overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with gratitude for this most sublime of gifts. Cultivating at all times an attitude of gratitude. During the course of the day, we should be thanking the Lord constantly for what happened at the Last Supper. An attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much for this sublime gift that you gave to us. And actually the word Eucharist, it means thanksgiving. With the psalmist, let us pray as such. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Next, let us beg the Lord to strengthen our faith. To strengthen our faith. Lord, I do believe, but strengthen my belief. Next is we want to just tell the Lord we thank him and we love him. We want to love him more and more. The next sentiment should be, our whole attitude toward the Holy Eucharist. Many of you are daily communicants. If not, you might make the decision to, on this day, to go to daily Mass. But not only to go to Holy Mass, but to appreciate these gifts, the gift of the Mass, more and more each day. Then related to our participation in Holy Mass, let's try to participate more fully in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And what I would suggest that we all make an effort to participate fully, actively, and consciously in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But see if we can prepare ourselves better. What I find to be very efficacious is to promote that movie which came out several years ago called El Gran Milagro. El Gran Milagro. The greatest miracle. The greatest miracle. Actually, last Saturday, right before Palm Sunday, I had a retreat in which the old church was packed with people. In that, we gave a retreat to the First Communion parents and some of the Confirmation parents. And I gave them a talk on confession. The children were being taught on the Mass. Then after the catechesis and a snack, we brought the parents and their children together, in which they were able to see the movie, The Great Miracle, El Gran Milagro. And we had three priests confessing the parents at the same time. Confessing the children, the parents at the same time. And then we ended by the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. My friends, I've said it once, and I'll say it again. The biggest religious group in the United States and Mexico and the Philippines, the biggest religious group are non-practicing Catholics. That's right. Non-practicing Catholics. There are many opinions as to why so many Catholics have drifted away from the practice of their faith. But I would make this assertion. Many will say, well, because there have been scandals in the church. We've had a cardinal archbishop that gave a worldwide scandal. Okay, McCarrick, we know that case. Others might say, well, the church is always asking for money. Others, well, I don't want to go because of the pandemic, I don't want to get the coronavirus. These are many objections that are leveled against the church, and as a consequence, people drift away. But I would state, my friends, that the real primary reason why people, Catholics, have walked away from the church is the following. That they've lost belief in the Eucharist. Either they've lost belief in the Eucharist or that they were really never properly catechized. So that being the case, why don't we make a proposal starting today to see if we can bring back the wandering lost sheep, bring them back to the fold. If we really believe what happened at the Last Supper, that Jesus turned bread into his body and wine into his blood and ordained the first priest from the apostles, and he said, do this in memory of me, thereby perpetuating what he did at the Last Supper, then on Good Friday, until the end of time, in which he would be with us. He said, I will be with you always, even until the end of time. We truly, honestly believe that Christ is truly present in every Mass, then the Catholic churches would be packed, not dwindling and diminishing in number, but surging. So I will leave that to you as one of your missions. One of your proposals starting today on Holy Thursday. To bring back the wandering sheep, to have apostolic zeal, to live out the Ignatian call of the King, the call of the King. These consoling words, my friends, Jesus says, rather, St. James says, this would be the Holy Spirit, that whoever brings back a wandering sheep to the fold, he will save his soul and expiate a multitude of sins.
I don't know how to respond to that.
So make an effort. To bring souls back to Christ. You bring back a wandering soul. St. James says, you save your own soul and you expiate a multitude of sins. We want to pray for apostolic zeal. So let's move from the Mass then to Jesus instituted the priesthood. This is a day in which priests throughout the world they give thanks to God for the gift of the priesthood. I'd like to quote for you the words of one of the greatest priests that ever lived. His name was the Curie of Ars. Pope Benedict XVI, when he was Pope, he called a year dedicated to the priesthood. And he took the Curie of Ars, his name is St. John Maria Vianney, the Curie of Ars, as the patron of priests. And this was the content of one of the sermons of the Curie of Ars. In all of the important moments of our lives, most especially the spiritual moments of our lives, who is present there? Who is present the day of our baptism or the baptism of our children? Most likely it was one of our parish priests. Who is there hearing our first confession, as well as our children? It was a parish priest. Who is there when we made our first communion? It would have been the priest. Who was there when we made our confirmation? It would have been the bishop, but the bishop has the fullness of the priesthood. Who is there to help us for your marriage preparation? It would have been the priest. Who was there on the day of your wedding? Could have been a deacon or a bishop, but usually it was probably the priest that gave witness to your wedding. Who was there when you had a marriage problem and you wanted some help? Probably the priest. When you went to the marriage encounter retrovite to resolve your marriage problem, who was present there? It was probably a priest. Who was there Who was there when your mother or your grandmother got sick? Came to visit her and to give her confession, the anointing of the sick, and even viaticum. It was the priest. Who is there to celebrate the funeral mass of your mother or your grandmother? It would be the priest. Who is there for the burial of your loved one? It was a priest. And to celebrate the anniversary of the death of your loved one, it would be the priest in the church, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So St. John Maria Vianney, St. John Maria Vianney says that the priest is essential for the conversion, sanctification, and salvation of many souls. And as I get older as a priest, the years are moving on, I'm more and more aware of how many people depend upon the priest. How many depend upon the priests to hear their confessions, to celebrate Mass for them, to preach and teach, to explain the Word of God, for their consolation, anointing before going into an operation. How many people really depend very much upon the person and the ministry of the priesthood? So I invite you all to pray for the Holy Father, to pray for the cardinals, to pray for the archbishops, to pray for the priests, to pray for the deacons, as well as to pray for future vocations. Pray for future vocations. Because Jesus says it very clearly. Jesus says that the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Throughout the world in general, there is a real shortage of priests. I repeat, throughout the world in general, there is a shortage of priests. I'm in the biggest diocese in the country of Los Angeles, and it's true about every mile or two there's a Catholic parish. A few weeks ago, there was a visiting priest that came from Acapulco. He came from Acapulco, Mexico. And I'm bad with numbers, but I think he said he was celebrating, he had something like his parish in 18 to 20 different chapels. And he was celebrating 4 to 5 masses every day. For the simple reason that the poor priest has got a lot of terrain to cover and there's simply not enough priests. So he'd go from one chapel to another on a daily basis celebrating 4 to 5 masses. Once again, the Curia of Ars, St. John Maria Vianney, says this: no priest, no mass. No Mass. No consecration. No consecration. No Eucharist. No Eucharist. No real presence of Jesus Christ. No Christ. Then we become spiritual orphans. We become spiritual orphans. My friends, talking about the Eucharist and the priesthood which Jesus instituted at the Last Supper, there is an interesting phenomenon. Is that in dioceses, in the diocese, as well as in the parishes, where you have the practice of Eucharistic adoration, where you have the practice of Eucharistic adoration, holy hour, all night vigils. Those are the dioceses where you're getting vocations. Where you have parishes where there is Eucharistic adoration, you get vocations. For example, right now, the Oblates of the Virgin Mary have two young men, one who will be ordained, making his perpetual vows within a few months, Jorge Sanchez, who came to the parish of St. Peter Chanel. He participated with me in giving the spiritual exercises. In Boston now, he's formed a group of giving the spiritual exercise to young people in Boston. And we have another young man, he's a Filipino, Migo, who also came to the parish of St. Peter Chanel, having done the spiritual exercise with me. So, my friends, we have vocations coming out of our parish. And one of the principal reasons why we have vocations coming out of our parish is that we promote Eucharistic adoration. Jesus says this, pray to the Lord of the harvest, because the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Beg the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to work in the vineyard. So, my friends, I invite all of you to renew your faith, your love, your devotion, your attitude of gratitude toward the sublime gift of the Holy Eucharist on this Holy Thursday. To participate fully, actively, consciously, with great love and devotion today. I invite you also to share our conversation with many of your friends. Perhaps some of your friends who have drifted away by listening to our conversation, this will touch them. And maybe they'll come back. So my friends, many blessings upon you. And I pray that you'll fall in love with the Eucharistic Lord and try to promote vocations to the priesthood. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.